There's nothing like serving the Lord. And, you know, my wife and I sometimes on a Sunday night, and it's funny, we our service starts at 5 o'clock, but by the time the last person walks out the door the last several weeks, it's been about 10:15, and we just have a good old time down there. And Sunday's over, we're laying there in bed finally, and I just look at my wife, and I'm like, is this real? Do we really get to do this? I mean, all the things, the miracles, and all the awesome things God's doing. And listen to me, young person, and adults also, you'll never find the fulfillment and the happiness and the peace in anything except the will of God for your life. And so let me challenge you, whatever God's will for is your life, do it, amen? Don't be afraid of it. Whatever God wants you to do, do it. And I promise you that will be the best life you could live. Well, I want to this morning give you some updates about what's been going on 70 miles from the south of here in Princeton for the last 17 months. And so, but as I always do, before I tell you what's going on, let me first of all just let everyone know and that any good thing that happens, it's all because of the Lord. Amen. Anything bad happens, it's because of me. And he's the one that gets all the credit, all the praise, all the glory and the honor. Amen. And we want you all to know that. And then second of all, I want to thank this church for your sacrifice. And, you know, this church plant would never have been possible. White River Baptist Church and all the things that happened never would have been possible if this church didn't sacrifice the way you sacrificed to get our church started. And so thank you, Blessed Hope. And there's a whole lot of people down there who are thankful for that. And so this morning, I want to kind of let you know a little bit of return on your investment and what the Lord has been doing and what he is doing and going to continue to do. And so I want to look back, and I gave these same statistics to our church at the beginning of this year of what the Lord's done in 2017 and the previous months in 2016. So beginning on January 8th of 2017, we started a nursing home ministry at the local nursing home. And to my knowledge, we are the only church that consistently on a regular basis goes in once a month to minister to those folks. In fact, this Sunday afternoon will be the first time I have not preached at the nursing home since we started it over a year ago. And one of the gentlemen in my church has taken that for us today. But what a privilege and honor to be able to go in there and minister to those folks. In fact, we've seen three people from that nursing home saved in the last 3 months. And I just found out last month when we were there that we actually have distant family that is in that nursing home. I was greeting the folks afterwards, and one gentleman I was talking to, and he said his last name was McDonald. I said, that's interesting. I said, I'm kind of from that clan. I said, he's like, are you from Greene County? I said, I am actually. And he says, I think I got some family up there. And so, but we traced the family line, and he's a distant down the line somewhere. And but it's been a blessing being able to go into that nursing home. In fact, 1 month we had to bump the Sunday to the third Sunday instead of the second Sunday. And when we showed up the third Sunday, of course, I went in there ahead of time and told the activities director we're going to change it. And all the folks were like, oh, we missed you last week. We were all here waiting on you, and you didn't come. And I said, well, didn't they tell you? No, they didn't tell us. And so I told my wife, I said, I don't care what's going on. This is a priority. Every second Sunday of the month, we're going to be here. Amen. But that was a blessing. We've been doing that now for over a year. We have, in February last year, we had Missions Emphasis Month. I wonder where I learned that from. Missions Emphasis Month in February. I don't know. And we had in two missionaries, and we were able to, in March, because of folks giving toward missions, start supporting in March of last year two missionaries at $100 a month. And so we've been supporting now two missionaries. We support a family. Their last name is the Skeen family, and they're on the mission field right now. They're in Ukraine getting ready to go into Russia. And his wife grew up on the mission field in Ukraine, so she speaks fluent Russian. He's in Ukraine trying to learn the language before they go into Russia. And so we support the Skeens, and then we support the Flowers family. And those of you that hear my radio broadcast, Brother Flowers is the one that does my intro and exit voice. And Brother Flowers and his family are in Turkey, and they're actually there. They got to the field this year, and they're making inroads in Turkey. Unbelievable, of all places. 98% Muslim, by the way. And, you know, unbelievable. But so we support them. And I thought it's interesting, as soon as preachers, we start supporting missions, our offerings double. Our offerings double. Now, how in the world's that happen? Amen? And I like God's economy, by the way. And so that was exciting. March 19th, we had our first baptismal service. And we baptized in the pool at the Fairfield Inn. We had a Baptist pool party. Amen? And we baptized three folks. We baptized Billy Evans, and Billy was led to the Lord by Brother Hamlin, who preached for us at the end of January of 17. And Billy, he comes, his health isn't that great, but he comes, and Billy got baptized, and the other two young people wore robes. Billy didn't want to wear a robe. He just walked right in the pool with his cowboy boots on and everything, and he got baptized in his Western attire, and that's how he dresses every Sunday. And so that was exciting. So that was back in March. Last April, we had our first spring program, and we started on April 2nd with our, we call it Kickstart Sunday, and we started four Sunday school classes. And those Sunday school classes continue to grow. Last week, I don't remember the exact number, but we had almost 40 in Sunday school last week. And so that's a blessing. We have my wife, she teaches the young kids up through 4 years old, and then Miss Autumn teaches the first grade through fourth grade. I teach the fifth through 12th grade, and then Brother Dave, the gentleman from my church, he teaches the adults, and so that's exciting. April 9th, we had Friends and Family Sunday with dinner on the grounds. April 16th was Easter Sunday, and we celebrated Resurrection Sunday with the balloon launch after church. Again, I wonder where I learned that from. And April 23rd was Fill a Row Sunday, and we broke our record attendance that day, and we had 65 on April 23rd. Praise the Lord. In June 1st, we took possession of our church property. Amen. And you talk about a blessing. And again, folks, as we live the Christian life, sometimes we're trying to figure things out and we think what we're doing. Okay, Lord, why aren't you answering this prayer? Why aren't you doing this? Listen, it's all about patience. It's all about waiting on God. Amen. And praise the Lord, we were able to close on that property on June the 1st. Also in June, we took our young people to teen camp. In June, we had some guest speakers. We had Evangelist Tim Booth, Evangelist Scott Netterville, and Missionary Kyle Harrison. Sunday, July 2nd, we broke our all-time attendance record with 70. And it wasn't any type of special push or anything. It was just, I think there was some family in town for the 4th of July. And so I preached that morning, preacher, on our biblical right to keep and bear arms. Amen. And that was Sunday, July 2nd. July was a busy month. We had junior camp along with Operation Fairgrounds, where we, again, for the second year in a row, rented out a booth at the Gibson County Fair. And we manned that booth with folks from our church and my wife and myself and other folks. And we gave out free popsicles and balloons, of course a lot of gospel tracts, and we were able to see one person saved at the fair that week. I think we were able to give the gospel over 10 times to people through that week there at the Gibson County Fair. In August, the date 6th through 12th, we took our young men to football camp up in Dwight, Illinois. We began September on a somber note. And we buried our dear brother Dusty on September the 9th. And Brother Dusty was, him and his wife, they found us the first year we were at the fair. And Brother Dusty's the one that came by and stopped, saw our sign. And he come back and he's like, Independent Baptist Church. He's like, I got two questions for you. He says, are you a soul winner and do you use the King James Bible? I said, yes, sir. He's like, we'll be there. And him and his wife were there at the very first service. And last February, almost a year ago, he found out he had cancer, and we buried him in September. But I miss Brother Dusty. He was going to be my first Sunday school teacher, but I'm sure he's looking down smiling this morning. Amen. And then the very next day, September the 10th, we celebrated our one-year anniversary service. And after that morning service, we had dinner at the church, and then we went and had our second baptismal service out in a pond from one of the family members of our church. And we baptized that morning 8 different people. Amen. And if you'd like to see some pictures of that, if you go to our website, I got pictures on our website about that baptismal service, and that was a lot of fun. Amen. And baptizing in a pond, that was pretty cool. September 17th, we had Fill a Row Sunday slash square donut sundae. And no one down there, most folks had never had square donuts. So Brother Harrison met me here at the church that morning. And I appreciate Brother Harrison. We were going to pay for him, but he paid for him. And we had square donuts that day. And I think our folks are hooked. Amen. They like them. And so I think I may just have to do that again sometime for another promotion. September 24th, we had Friends and Family Sunday and had pumpkins for everyone. October 1st was our property dedication Sunday, and we actually held a service out on the church property under the tent, and that was exciting, and we had a good time there. October 15th, we had Evangelist Ted Houston. He preached for us all day. November 12th, Evangelist Steve Epley and his wife was with us all day, and then we ended the year in December. On December the 9th, we took a group down to the Faith Music Christmas concert down in Evansville, and then on the 23rd, we had our Christmas banquet, and the Harris brothers came and sang for us. And so at the Christmas banquet, we actually broke our attendance record. We had 83 at our attendance at our Christmas banquet, and I don't know how we even fit everybody in there. That was exciting trying to figure out how to set tables up, but somehow we figured, I think next year I'm going to have to rent out a place, and so that was exciting. So in the first 6 months of 2017, our average attendance was 40. In the last 6 months of 2017, our average attendance was 49. In the last 6 months, we had one Sunday in the 70s, four in the 60s, eight in the 50s, four in the 40s, and eight in the 30s. So in 2017, we had a total of 149 first-time visitors, 25 salvations, and 11 baptisms. Amen? And in the total 17 months of our church, we've seen over 50 people accept Christ as Savior, and so the Lord's been blessed. Amen? Our average offerings in the first 3 months of 2017 were about $783 a week. The last 3 months of 2017, they were about $1,448 a week. And so, praise the Lord, the folks that are coming are tithing. Amen? That's a blessing. And in fact, one of the new couples that have been coming, she asked my wife, she says, you know, we've been coming here now for a few months, and the preacher's never said anything about money. I wish he'd preach about tithing sometime. And so, praise the Lord, I honored that wish last Sunday night, amen? And but that was exciting. In 2018, let me give you an update in the last 6 weeks what's been going on. In the last 6 weeks, we've been able to see 9 people saved, amen? And a lot of these have been young people, and they've been coming, and they've been, one of those I think was saved at the nursing home, but the Lord's just been blessing, amen? And you know why those folks have been saved? Is because as they're at church, my daughter Grace and others have asked them, the little girls her age, have you ever been saved before? Well, no. Why don't you go come talk to my mom? And we've been able to see several folks saved like that. Praise the Lord. The last few weeks, our attendance have been in the 60s. Amen. And we're thankful for that. We actually had last Sunday a family I've been working with, a family of 9, and they came last Sunday, and they told me they're going to start coming. And so that's exciting. One of our dear ladies of our church, in fact, it was Miss Kathy, Brother Dusty's wife, and she donated $4,000, and so to buy our first bus, amen? And so, Lord willing, this week, I was supposed to go yesterday, but because of the snowstorm, we didn't do it, but in the next couple weeks, we're going to be going up to Northern Illinois and picking that bus up, amen? And it's a mini bus, kind of like what you have here, and we're going to get that thing sanded down and painted and lettered, and that'll be exciting, amen? Of course, this is, again, February Missions Emphasis Month. Last Sunday, I taught on missions, and this week, filling in for me is Pastor Alan Castle, and he's down teaching on missions this morning, and then in the next 2 weeks, we're going to have some missionaries in, and Lord willing, we're going to try to pick up 2 more missionaries and start supporting on a monthly basis. Of course, we got a spring program planned for this year. April 1st is, I think that's great, April 1st, April Fool's Day, amen? We're going to shut up all those atheists, amen? The Resurrection Day, what a day to celebrate. I don't know if it's ever been on April 1st before, but that's exciting. And so April 1st Sunday is Easter Sunday. We're celebrating that. We're kicking off our first preaching conference, and I have Evangelist Terry Danford coming in. He's going to be preaching, of course, all day Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday evening for us, and through Wednesday also, and that'll be exciting. April the 8th is going to be Fill a Row Sunday, and we'll give out a $100 gift certificate to whoever brings the most visitors. See, we can't have fill a pew Sunday at our church because we don't have pews, so we call it fill a row. And so we'll have that. April 15th is, man, I'm excited about this, is Charter Sunday. And we're going to charter and become officially independent on that day. Amen. And it's going to be exciting. Preacher's coming down for us after the morning service here, and he's going to preach that service for us. And we're going to have dinner on the grounds, and then all the folks that would like to sign the charter, we're going to sign an official charter. And just like Brother Clanny did, we're going to have two charters. One of them is going to be for our church at White River, and then we're going to have a copy, and actually I'm going to have folks sign both charters, and then that second charter will come here so y'all can have as a memorial for what the sacrifice this church has made. Amen. And so I'm excited about April 15th. April 22nd is Friends and Family Sunday, and we're going to have ice cream Sundays after the morning service. And then April 29th, man, we're trying to go all out. We're going to call it Break the Record Sunday, and we're going to shoot to have 100 that day. Amen. And I'm going to prep my people for it. We're going to, of course, have nice literature printed up. We're going to spend the whole month of April and Saturday evening having prayer meetings. And we're going to do our best to try to blow out the doors. Amen. And try to have 100 that day. And I believe we can do it. And so this year, our theme for this year, and I'll be preaching about this in the morning service, but our theme this year at White River Baptist Church is Occupy Till I Come. And I want to have this forward-going mentality, amen? And I don't ever want to wave the white flag or surrender and wait till Jesus comes. We got to be going forward and doing things. And so that's what we're doing this year. We got a lot of different things planned, and we're trying to also, through the activities of our church, build the families of our church. So I've got different activities planned for the different groups. We got activities planned for our young people, and we are of course involved in the youth rallies that Brother Clanny's organized. There's six different activities we'll be going to, six different youth rallies, and we will actually host the last one of the year down at White River in October. And so I'm excited about that. I think the last youth rally we had here a few weeks ago, I think we were able to bring, I don't remember exactly, I think we brought maybe 15 young people, and so that's exciting. And so we also, of course, have teen camp, junior camp, and football camp, and other things we're doing through the year for our young people. We've also been doing family activities, and our folks have really been enjoying that, even though it seems like every Sunday night's a family activity. Our first one we had was in January, and we didn't really rent out the bowling lanes, but by the time everybody got there, our church filled every single bowling lane in the whole bowling alley. And so that was kind of cool. I think we had over 50 at that activity. And then after bowling, we went and we had a mass invasion of Dairy Queen. Amen. And then coming up in March, we're taking a two-day trip to the Ark and Creation Museum. And I think I've got over 40 people signed up for that trip. In May, we're having a family picnic at Spring Mill State Park. And then in October, we're going to have a fall cookout, Lord willing, at our new house. Amen. And that's the goal. That's the plan. Ladies, we've been having activities for ladies. Yesterday, we had our first ladies' luncheon. My wife hosted that at a restaurant there in Princeton. And I think she had 18 ladies. Is that right? 18 ladies come to that and was able to minister to the ladies and play games with them and just minister to them spiritually also. And so that was exciting. And then our men, amen. We got to build those relationships with our men. In fact, that's what Pastor Ross taught us, is that the way to build a church is through the men. Amen. And that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to build close relationships with my men and make inroads with them spiritually. And we've been seeing some of that. We went to a sportsman's banquet last weekend, and we've got some other men's activities. Every first Saturday of the month, our men, we meet out at our church property, and we have a prayer meeting on that church property. We're praying that God will help us raise the finances we need for the building of our first building, and also that the Lord will just use that property to see folks saved. Amen. And so it's exciting to be able to be involved in the lives of our men and see God do great things there. And so that's just kind of in a nutshell what's going on down at White River Baptist Church in Princeton, and a little return on your investment, Blessed Hope. And I'm so thankful for what this church has done, and we definitely appreciate that. In fact, in May, when we come up for the anniversary week, I've talked to our church about this, and I think on Friday night, several of our folks are going to kind of drive up and be part of that service. I want them to meet y'all. I want them to know why White River Baptist Church is there, and I want them to meet the folks that invested in the church that they attend. And so, Lord willing, we're going to bring some folks up here. And so, anyway, thank you, Blessed Hope, for your investment, and I appreciate all that you've done. Thank you for the prayer support. You say, why are things going the way they are? I'll be honest with you, I really don't know. Amen. And I'm just trying to stay out of God's way, let him do his thing. But let me tell you why I do. One reason I do know God's doing what he's doing is because of prayer. Amen. And folks, let me tell you a great formula in life. And I try to incorporate this in everything I do. We need to, number one, pray like everything depends upon God. Amen? Because it does. But number two, we need to work like everything depends upon us. Amen? So if you have that combination of prayer and work, let me tell you something. God will do some amazing things. Amen? And so we're excited about what the Lord is doing. Amen? Let me just take the last few minutes here, and I want to share with you, just kind of give you some motivation. Why, as Christians, we ought to be involved in reaching people for Jesus Christ. And when I look at my own life and what motivates me and the message I try to give to our church to help motivate them, and I pray that also will help motivate you in your endeavors and efforts to reach people for Christ. There's basically three different things that come to mind of what motivates me as a Christian to stay busy and try to do everything I can to reach as many people as I can. And I want to share those with you this morning during our Sunday school hour. So if you take your Bible, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And of course, that's a very familiar passage. And those of you who are soul winners, you go to this passage often. You read verses out of this passage often. And of course, Romans 10:13, probably one of the most famous verses in the Romans Road. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And by the way, praise God. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that whosoever? And I'm thankful for that. But seldom do we read past verse 13. But verse 14 and 15 kind of gives us the practicality of verse 13. Notice what the scripture says in verse 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you, God, so much for allowing us to be in your house, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Lord, thank you for the lighthouse this church is in this community. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be busy about reaching people, Lord, for you. And God, I pray that as we look at your word for a few moments this morning, you'd speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, some of the folks in this room, you've been saved for decades. Some of you have been saved for years. Some of you may have only been saved for a few months. Yet regardless of how long we've been saved, you know what? As Christians, we need to understand that it's our responsibility to be involved in reaching other people for Jesus Christ. Amen? Hey, by the way, somebody reached you. Right? Someone cared enough about you to give you the gospel. Why is it then, as Christians, should we not make it our responsibility then to want to reach other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? By the way, you know what? That's one of the main reasons Jesus Christ founded his church, was so that we could be the intricate catalyst that he used to reach people in this dark world. So this morning, I just want to give you three simple Bible reasons why we should be involved in reaching people with the gospel. I'm not going to give you anything you've never heard before, but I just want to give you these. By the way, this is more personal motivation. These are things that I think about. These are things that help drive me to get out there and do what God's called me to do. Number one, and to me, this is the most reason, the thing that helps me the most, is to understand this. Is that hell is a real place. Right. That hell is a real place. Amen. And I know you hear it preached from the pulpit here quite a bit, but let me say this. You know what? From a lot of churches across the land, the subject of hell is never even talked about. In fact, Brother Dusty, who I talked about a while ago, after about the first month of attending church, he walked out the door one day and he said, "You know, preacher, you've talked more about hell and judgment in the last month than this church has probably heard in the last, this town's probably heard in the last 20 years. And I thought, wow, that's sad. You know, I mean, shouldn't that be what all preachers talk about and all preachers preach about? Let me just remind you something this morning, Christian. As we're sitting here in this wonderful, comfortable auditorium, thousands of feet below, thousands of miles below our feet or thousands of feet below where we stand and sit this morning, there are people screaming in a real place called hell. We must never forget as Christians that hell is a real place. I don't know about you, but when I think about hell, when I read what the Bible says about hell, you know what? It moves me. It motivates me to want to get out and do something, try to reach as many people as I can. By the way, who goes to hell? Good people go to hell. Bad people go to hell. Old people, young people, white people, black people, every color of people, poor people, middle class people, rich people, any person who's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior goes to a real place called hell. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." By the way, when's the last time you tried to persuade anybody? Whether it's with a gospel tract, whether it's with a witness. Come on, Christian, we got to do something about it. Amen? The Bible tells us that hell's going to be hot. The Bible tells us that hell's going to be dark. The Bible says hell's going to be everlasting. The rich man is still there begging for a drop of water. People that I've known in my life that have died without Jesus Christ are still there begging to be delivered from the torments of hell. So why is it as Christians we ought to be involved in reaching people for Jesus Christ? Whether it be in our own area, whether it be trying to reach our state, our country, or reach the world. Why should we be involved in that? Because hell is a real place. How about it, Christian? When the preacher talks about hell, does anything stir inside of you whatsoever? If not, I'd examine my Christian life, amen? I'd examine some things in my life. Number two, what's the second reason that motivates me to reach people for Jesus Christ? Because eternity is forever. Eternity is forever. Let me tell you what I think, preacher, is one of the most effective tools of the devil. He gets us so focused on the temporal that we don't think one bit about the eternal. And by the way, folks, I know it's easy, isn't it? We're all busy. We all live life. We got our families to take care of. We got jobs we got to go to. We got all these things going on in our life. But let me say this. We must never forget that eternity is forever. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house made not with hands, eternal in the heavens." You know what God's emphasizing in those verses? That eternity is forever. Amen? God uses that word forever, eternal, eternity, over 400 times in the Bible. Why? Because you know what? People are going to live somewhere forever. Right. We've already learned that people who don't know Christ will live in a horrible place called hell. But you know, people who have accepted Christ are going to live forever in a wonderful place called heaven. And that's why as Christians, you know what? We got to look at our lives. We got to look at it the way the book of James tells us to look at it. That it's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. As of late, this idea of eternity, this idea of the frailty of life has just kind of hit home to me. I guess maybe I've always known it, but I've seen so many people that are either my peers or my age group or just a little bit older than me pass into eternity. Of course, when Brother Dusty passed, I mean, he was only 62. And I'll be honest with you, that hit me a little bit. Maybe it's because one of the first members of my church I had to bury, but I thought about that. And then last fall, Brother Paul Chapman's brother-in-law, Pastor Rick Waters, 42 years old, passed into eternity. I'll be honest with you, that one really hit me hard. And then tomorrow, my dear pastor friend, Jason Monkowski, who pastors over in Quincy, Illinois, is going to bury his wife tomorrow, 40 years old. Church plant, just like ours, 5 years old. His church plant's 5 years old. Six children between the ages of 2 and 14. He's burying his wife tomorrow. Now, I'll be honest with you, folks. I don't get all that stuff. I don't understand all that stuff. All I know is this: eternity is forever. Right. And when you look at life and how short and how, even if you do get your 70 or beyond, how really compared to eternity, how small it is. Listen to me, folks, that ought to motivate us to do something for Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. It ought to motivate us to understand that we're going to face him one of these days. I'll never forget the message that was preached behind this pulpit when I was just a 12, 13-year-old boy, and I sat right over here. I'll never forget it. Out of all the messages that Pastor Ross Sr. ever preached, it's impacted me the most, and that's the message, live with one eye on the judgment seat. I'll never forget it, preached when I was 12 years old, what God did in my heart as a 12-year-old boy through that message. Listen, church, we got a job to do, amen? Eternity is forever. I mean, folks, this whole idea of what the Bible talks about, eternal rewards. Listen to me. If you think that there's going to be a fair police sitting up beside God in heaven and just handing out participation prizes, it ain't going to happen. Right. If you want a reward in heaven, guess what, church? You got to earn it. Amen. You don't earn your salvation. Amen. Praise God for that. But when it comes to this idea of eternal rewards, you got to earn those things. Scripture tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And let me tell you what my worst fear is, preacher, to stand before him one of these days, and as those eyes of fire look at my works for everything that I've ever done to be burnt up and just ashes, nothing to present my Savior. Listen, I don't want that to be me, amen? So listen, if you don't want that to be you, if you want your works to survive the trying eyes of the Savior, then we got to do some things for eternity, amen? And that's why we need to be busy reaching others, because eternity is forever, amen? Amen. Let me give you the last thing this morning that helps motivate me to stay busy reaching people for Jesus Christ. Number three is this, because God doesn't have another plan. You know, folks, if people are going to be reached, we're it. Okay? God could have done it any way he wanted to, folks. If he wanted to, he could have had the angels come down and herald the gospel from the heavens if he would have wanted to. If he would have wanted to, he could have had the clouds arrange themselves in the Romans road every single day at a certain time if he would have wanted to. But that wasn't his plan. You know what his plan was to reach the world with the gospel? His church. That was his plan. And by the way, there is no plan B. If we don't reach people, they're not going to get reached. God has chosen us as the vehicle to get the gospel out. Yesterday, I was driving up to Indianapolis, and one of my guys was in the hospital. And I drove up 69, and preacher, I drove past Elnora. And as I was driving past Elnora, I looked out over on a hillside, and I saw a cemetery. And you know what I thought about as I passed that cemetery? Because you know who was buried in that cemetery? Brother Ron Allen. And I thought about, as I drove past that cemetery and looked out on the hillside where Ron was buried, I thought about a man who, you know what, when he got saved, he understood the fact that eternity was real and that that his job had to be to reach other people. And he spent the remaining years that God gave him doing everything he could to reach as many people as he could. And I thought about our dear brother Ron, who has been in heaven now for right at 10 years or so. And I think about how that Ron used his testimony to try to reach people for Jesus Christ. Now listen, you may not be Ron Allen. You may not have the same testimony he had. But you know what? God has put you here to reach somebody. Amen? By the way, Christian, who are you going to reach? How about those people you work with? I mean, listen, if you don't reach them, who's going to do it? You think the Methodists are going to do it? You think the JWs and the Mormons are going to do it? Listen, if you don't get the gospel to the people in your life, they're not going to be saved. I think of the story of Cornelius in the book of Acts. And we don't have time to read it all this morning. But if you read that, you know what you find? You find a man who wanted to be saved. You find a man who was ready to be saved. But you know why? You know what had to be there in order for Cornelius to be saved? Someone to tell him. I mean, he wanted to be saved. He was seeking after God. But yet, you know what he had to have? He had to have someone willing to go and tell him how to be saved. I think about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And they're in Acts chapter 8. And here's a man, by the way, who is reading the scripture. And again, I'm all for gospel tracts. I think we got to get them out. I think we got to use them. But you know what? There's more of a responsibility than just handing out a gospel tract. We got to open our mouth, folks. We got to tell people, and it may not even make sense to us. We may not even, can't even quite understand exactly why it should be that way, but it's God's plan. But But I think about that Ethiopian eunuch and how that, you know what, he was reading the scripture, and but yet God sent his man Philip, who was preaching a revival. God sent him there because he needed a person to show him from the scripture how to be saved. Remember something, it's not our job to make anybody believe, amen? All right? We're not terrorists, okay? It's not either believe or die. That's not what God's called us to do. We get the message out, we get the gospel, and then it's up to them to respond, amen? But listen, we got to get it out. We got to get it out. That's why the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, God said to his prophet, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou give him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." Talk about a motivating verse there. How many times have we been someplace and God speaks to our heart about talking to somebody, but you know what? We're too busy. You know what? We have other things to do. We have to get here. We got to get there. And we don't take a minute to give a gospel track or give a witness. Listen, there are certain people, folks, that God puts across your path that's the time to talk to them then. And you may not get another chance to cross their path. And if you don't do it then, you know what? They may never get that other opportunity. But he says in verse 19, "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." So you know what he says? Listen, your job is to warn him, amen? Your job is to get the gospel out. And that's why it's so important that we have a burden to reach people. That's why it's so important that we're involved in reaching people for Jesus Christ. We got to be involved here in our local area. And by the way, I can't see it right here, but if I stepped over here, I could. That's what those maps are all about, amen? Amen. I wonder how many people in this community God has ready. He just needs someone to go knock on their door. Amen. You say, "Well, it doesn't work." Listen, I've heard that excuse over and over and over again. And by the way, whether it works or not, who cares? God tells us to do it. Be obedient. But let me say this. It does work. Okay? There's still people out there that do want to be saved. If you don't think that's true, then if I were to bring to the pulpit this morning my brother-in-law, my brother-in-law Heath, many of you know Heath, and he wouldn't say this, so I'm going to say it for him. Heath is the best personal soul winner I know. You know, Heath, in the last year, preacher, I asked him the other day, and he said it in a very humble way, in the last 12 months, he's led 150 people to Jesus Christ. And you know how he's done it? Because he's not afraid to open his mouth and talk to people. You know how many of those people he's led right out on the sidewalk up here at Casey's? Lots of them. You know how many people he's led as he's driving down the road? He sees someone driving down the road. He pulls his car over, gets out, and talks to him. In fact, the other day he was sitting in his house and his phone rang. And she says, is this Preacher Heath? And he thought someone was messing with him, so he hung up. the number calls back. She says, "Is this Preacher Heath?" She's like, who are you? She's like, "You knocked on my door 2 months ago and witnessed to me. But I wasn't ready to get saved. But you told me when I was ready to call you, I'm ready." And he led her to the Lord over the telephone. He's been going to the nursing homes, and there's a gentleman in his church that's in the nursing home, and he's been going there to pick him up. But as he's been there picking him up, he's been talking to people who's out on the sidewalk smoking or whatever. I think in the last 2 months from the nursing home, he's led over 10 people to Christ at the nursing home, not even residents. In fact, the other day he was in there, and these two ladies at the desk, they'd been watching him, and he could tell they were real standoffish to him. And he comes up to him and he's like, "Yeah, so-and-so, man, they just accepted the Lord." And they just kind of looked at him. And they're like, "You probably wonder why we're looking at you this way, right?" He's like, "Well, no, not really." And they're like, "Well, we're atheists." And she's like, "We see religious people come in here all the time. But you know what? You're the real deal." Amen. That's what they said. Now, is Heath perfect? No. I'm not trying to up here just sing his praises this morning. All I'm saying is this. You know what? He's not afraid to open his mouth and talk to people. Amen? So church, listen. We got to reach him. They're all over the place. I mean, last time I checked, preacher, I don't think everyone in Jacksonville saved. I don't think everyone in Green, Sullivan, Clay County saved. I know for sure not everyone in Princeton saved. Amen. I mean, listen, we got a job to do. So what's going to motivate you? What's going to help you get out there? Number one, to understand hell is a real place. Number two, to understand that eternity is forever. And number three, to realize that God doesn't have another plan. If you don't reach him, they're probably not going to be reached. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for Lord, your love for us. Lord, thank you the great message of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take what you've given us in our lives and not be afraid to give it to others, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for this church and all the faithful, loving people here, God. And help us all, Lord, to do our part to reach people for you. In Jesus' name, amen.